Oh, I had the opportunity to travel back to my home state of Nebraska, and with a little bit of extra time to spare and trying to dodge some of the work that dad and mom might have me do on the farm in terms of chores. Any of you ever dodged chores before? I get it. You don't want to admit guilt. That's all right. That's all right. God knows the heart. In an attempt to maybe dodge some expectations on the farm and to maybe just take a stroll down memory lane, I took a drive to the nearby small town of Creston, Nebraska. Not a large town, not a small or big population by any means. The largest thing they probably boast today is the post office and maybe a place where you can go in and grab a cheeseburger and a cup of coffee with a good friend. Maybe you know that kind of community. So I'd like to invite you to go on a little stroll down memory lane with me, if you would. Up the street. Up the hill, just to the right, tucked in the back corner of the community. There you'll find a two-story white house with olive green shutters, olive green trim around the house in certain places, and a nice quiet row of evergreen trees in the backyard. And if you would, take a moment to pull over with me and take a walk with me as we go around the back of the house. And take a look over in the corner as we see this. A beautifully prepared garden. Anybody here like to plant a garden? Yeah? Yeah? The place we've arrived this morning is my Grandma Cordy's house. And one of the things you need to know about Grandma Cordy is that she had a garden, and it always looked immaculate. Big enough to hide even the biggest of grandkids in between some of the rows that you might find that grandma has planted. It's always a treat to go back there. It's always a treat to see all the hard work and the labor of love that was poured out into this small plot of ground that eventually in time, if you waited for it, it came up with this. But then this quickly translated into this, veggies and all kinds of wonderful things that quickly found themselves inside grandma's house and on the kitchen table in the kitchen. Do you have somebody in your family that has a similar heart for hospitality? Someone whose door is always open? Someone who welcomes family members no matter what time of the morning in or what time of the night it is? Someone who welcomes a family member just as readily as they would a neighborhood person who happens to wander up the street after a baseball practice or a nice swim in the summertime in the community pool? It's always a treat and a blessing to show up to grandma's house any time of day, and she was always prepared, always ready. I don't know how she did it, but she was always ready with produce and a whole bunch of other things, things I probably shouldn't eat too much of, cookies and more cookies. If you were here this past Thursday night for our little Praisers Christmas program, you probably saw the mounds of cookies. Maybe some of you took those home, and maybe you're still working your way through those. Prepared. She was always prepared. If it wasn't in the garden, it was in the fridge. If it wasn't in the fridge, it was in the freezer. And if she didn't have it, she'd find a way to get it. She was always prepared. Prepared with things like this and things like this. Fruits and vegetables and sandwiches, things that were connected to this garden that she had poured her time and labors of love into so that her family had something to enjoy. She was always ready, always prepared. But if you were to ask her, well, how did you get this garden to look the way it does? How did you get your kitchen to be in a place of such immaculate preparation? The sweet little 5-foot-nothing German stock lady would tell you, there's some things you have to do. You have to work open the soil. You can't be afraid to get your hands dirty. You gotta take out the stones, take out the big chunks, the clods of dirt, as we used to call them. Clear the way. You have to pull the weeds. You have to take out the things that would vie for the life of those plants, those vegetables, those things in the garden that we're trying to grow. Take the things out, the competitors out. Get rid of them. You have to water. To water when it's hot. And when you don't want to be out there, and when you want to sit inside in the air conditioning and get out of the heat, you got to be out there. You have to tend to it. You have to fertilize it. And when you grow up in a rural community, well, let's just say there's never a shortage of fertilizer. Amen? Yeah, we'll stop there with that one. But you also have to watch out for the things that come in and chew your garden apart. Okay, maybe it doesn't look like this. Maybe it's more like this. But you have to watch out those things that are finding a way into the garden and doing all the hard work, like the rabbits and the brigade of squirrels, as we called them, and the bugs and the deer that chew and chew and chew and don't stop until it's all gone. Has ever been your experience? Yeah, whenever I tell people that I used to work in wildlife, especially with white-tailed deer, they're like, oh, I got a backyard for you. I got a garden for you. I got some bushes in my front yard, and the deer won't stop. When can you come over? Grandma, how did you get things to look the way they do? So immaculate, so on the spot. And she responded with a smile and a twinkle in her eye. You got to be prepared. As I think about our gospel lesson from this morning, from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 20, I hear somebody else saying those two words to you and to me today, be prepared. But it's not my grandma, but it's someone who in a lot of ways is concerned about the cultivation of something much more significant than carrots and lettuce and rhubarb. Someone who's tuned in to the cultivation of hope within God's people as it's focused on Jesus Christ. A guy by the name of John the Baptist. Now, what you need to know about John, he's not your typical farmer. Maybe in some ways he does. He's got clothing that make you want to turn the opposite way. He eats food that should probably see him going on one of these survival shows. Locusts and honey, delicious. But out of the mouth of this guy who you and I would probably pass by comes the word that people need to hear. And it's just this: be prepared. See, over time, John, as he's out preaching and as he's out sharing with people, cultivating the soil, working up the soil of people's hearts and minds, you come to find that there's a group of people that start to mob themselves around him. You ever been to a place where people are attracted to a certain speaker or a presenter? It doesn't take us too long to find a place or a situation like that, does it? Especially in a big city like Fort Wayne. Go down to the nearest convention center, go down to the nearest embassy, go down to the nearest theater, and you find people that gather around to hear somebody talk. Well, John is no exception. He's got a message, and people have a question. John, what should we do? To the people in the community, John shared this: be prepared. If you're in a place where you can bless somebody else, if you can practice hospitality, if you can give to somebody who does not have, then do it. Don't hold back. Be prepared. Because there's someone who's coming who's going to model for you and for me what hospitality is all about, and it's going to blow your mind. Tax collectors come up to John. So, John, that's great. What about us? And John's response is this: be prepared. Stop extorting money. Be honest in what you do. If you're in a place where someone comes to you to pay their taxes, don't take any more than you have to. Don't line your pockets. Don't give to the Romans any more than you need to. Be honest. Be prepared. Soldiers come up to John. All right, John, so what about us? You talk to the crowds, you talk to the tax collectors. What about us? We serve the government, we watch over the people, we give an account for what we do. And John's answer is this: be prepared. Be content with what you have. Don't be greedy. How about this? Live out your vocation faithfully. In this place where you've been called to give an account to your superiors and also to our God, be prepared. Be honest in what you do. Be content with what you have, because my God who's coming will supply everything you need. So be prepared. In a big way, this is the message that John is sharing to all those people who are gathering around him, who want to hear more about what he has to say about the one who's coming, who's greater than John himself. be a community that's prepared. Let me ask you, in the season of Advent and Christmas, how would you rate your preparedness? Scale of 0 to 10, 0 being, talk to me later, or 10 being, I'm ready to go. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to throw up any like number cards with your bulletin today. But I kind of wonder what kind of week you've had. See, I talked to several of you, and I talked to several folks in our daycare school. I talked to some people in our community. And when I've heard that, sometimes it's hard to be prepared, isn't it? I mean, maybe try as we may to be prepared and to be joyful in this Advent season and to have the decorations and the lights and the flowers and, well, maybe sometimes it's hard to be prepared to be the community God is calling us to be, because maybe some things have found a way into your life and in my life that have made it really hard to be prepared. Conversations you didn't see coming, situations at work that were just unexpected, employment concerns, health concerns, financial concerns, and the list goes on. Maybe we find too that we're not too dissimilar from the folks that John is sharing this message with, that it is hard sometimes to be prepared when faced with all these things. Does that resonate with anybody this morning? Sometimes it's hard to have the community that God's calling us to be, because maybe something has creeped into your life this past week that has mowed and chewed and nibbled at your life and your heart. And right now, it is really hard to let that hallelujah come out. Maybe some other things have come up that made it really hard to have a heart that's cultivated for Jesus Christ. Or to pull out the weeds, because try as we may, boy, they grow back, don't they? But in the season of Advent, God comes to you and to me in the strength of a promise to be with us in the midst of our community. And he sets before us this question: where is God calling you to be prepared this Advent season? So in other words, what are the areas of your life that maybe need to be cultivated a little bit more? By spending time with our Lord in prayer, or in the Word, or maybe a Sunday morning adult Bible class, or a midweek study. Where is God calling you to tend to the weeds, to maybe pull out the things that are competing for the life you have in Jesus Christ? Where is God calling you to be in the midst of a group of people who can help lift your eyes above what you're used to seeing throughout the week? Things that aren't too pleasant. Where is God calling you to be prepared this season? Friends, as we think about John the Baptist's ministry and his mission of preparing the way for Christ's coming, we remember the opportunity God has given to us, not just this Advent and Christmas season, but throughout the year as a community of faith, to be the people who are prepared. And as that happens, we are blessed to be able to communicate the hope and the faith that we have with those around us. And when that happens, we start to see that no longer we're a community with questions, but we're a community with answers. As Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit, works through your life and in my life, and as that happens, as that hope continues to grow and to blossom in your life and in mine, we see hope rise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we just ask that you would hit the pause button. I pray that you would slow down our hearts and our minds, if just for a moment. Perhaps as we hear those words, be prepared, we feel a little bit of stress, because maybe we've heard that in so many other places, within so many other relationships and conversations this week. Be prepared at home. Be prepared at school. Be prepared at work. Be prepared with shopping. Be prepared for the news. Perhaps, Lord, today that's the last thing we want to hear, is to be prepared. But Father, in this Advent season, we remember that this word of encouragement, this word of direction, is an uplifting one, because attached to it is a name and a face, your son Jesus, who comes to us with the hope that we truly need, not what the world offers and what the world so quickly takes back, but what we really need, an undying and everlasting hope. So, Father, we pray that you would continue to work in our lives. We pray that you would continue to work in this place with the ministries and the work you've called us to. And we pray, Lord, that as we continue to gather around your word and your sacraments, we pray, Lord, that you would raise up for yourself a community of hope that is prepared to share the hope and the love of Christ that you've given to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.